What's up, guys? Coach Steve here. Welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. And in today's episode, I'm joined with one of Max's top 10 finalists, Ben Ricks. Ben, welcome to the Challenge Podcast.
Steve, how are you going?
I'm so excited to finally get a chance to chat with you about your experiences with the challenge here. But mate, you know, just a few days ago, you found out that you were in the top 10 in the September challenge. What has the past couple of days been like for you?
Obviously, I was very excited to find out that I was in the top 10. It was one of my goals, definitely, to make the top 10. I trained really hard. I stuck to the diet. And you know, truth be told, I would have been a bit upset if I didn't hit the top 10. The last couple of days, look, I've been trying not to go on too many binges. I mean, that was immediately. Look, I think immediately after it, obviously, I've had some treats. You know, went a bit off the rails and, you know, had a few glasses of scotch and a few blocks of chocolate. But I would say the last, you know, 5 or 10 days, it's really been about getting back on track, getting back into training and just sort of following the lifestyle, I suppose, and trying to do it outside of the challenge.
Love it. I love it. Now, Ben, you know, I know a little bit about you, you know, reading your profile online, but there's some people that are listening that might not know much about you. So would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe where you're from and what you do for work?
So I'm from Bendigo in Victoria. So we're regional Victoria. So we have had some COVID restrictions over the last challenge, but, you know, nowhere near like what they've had in Melbourne or anything like that. I am father of 3 daughters, one of which you might hear crawling around in the background. I apologise. Which leads into, I work at Bendigo Bank, although I am currently on paternity leave with our youngest daughter at the moment. So I've had a couple of months off looking after her and the other two on the non-school days.
Wow. Working in Bendigo at Bendigo Bank. I love it.
And my name is Ben.
All right. I love that so much. Let's talk about the challenge and let's talk about why you chose to start the challenge. So I can see that you first tried the challenge in 2017. Is that the first time you tried the challenge?
Yeah.
So could you tell us a little bit of a story, maybe why you chose to start the challenge a few years ago, if you were to hop in your time machine and go back a couple of years ago, and then maybe why you chose to start the challenge in 2020 in the September challenge?
Yeah, sure. Originally in 2017, it was a lot about balance, I suppose, and just having that release, that mental aspect, sort of mental health and that physical release and that outlet to balance up in life, which was really good at the time. And I mean, I've always been fairly active growing up as a teenager and in my 20s. Then sort of as I got married, had kids, a lot of that went out the window and nutrition went out the window. And I realized how important that physical exercise was as a part of my life in maintaining sort of my even keel and happiness and my emotions and mood. So I started the 2017 challenge to really get that back as a bit of a kick up the backside to get that physical activity back and just sort of rein in my moods and my emotions and all of the mental health aspects of it as well. I'd put on a lot of weight over the time as well too, so the losing weight was good. But it was really just about that good feeling you get from getting the endorphins and feeling happy, healthy and active was really the main reason if you really dive into it.
Yeah. I'd like to ask a follow-up question about 2017. Was there a specific moment where maybe you caught a glimpse of yourself in the mirror or a photo, or did you have a certain emotional feeling? Because you kind of spoke a lot about how you use the gym as like an outlet to release endorphins and to kind of reset your mood. Was there a specific moment in time where you kind of went, yep, Ben, it's time to do something. Maybe this challenge might help me getting back into fitness and health. Could you speak a little bit about what started the process of you wanting to take action and do something?
Yeah, it was a change in careers, I guess, would probably be the strongest catalyst for it. Mm-hmm. I went through a period of, you know, not really knowing what I wanted to do career-wise, and which led to a whole lot of other sort of stresses about what career you want to do, how much it's going to get paid, how are you going to support a family on that much money and things like that. And the stresses started to build up. And then so obviously the outlet was kind of a result of that. It was sort of to help get out and clear my head and get the monkey off your back and come back and deal with whatever questions or stresses you might have on the go at the time.
Yeah, I like that. And then, you know, you've done the 2017 challenge. Did you finish the 2017 challenge?
Yeah, I did. I finished this 2017. I had actually, I'd lost a few kilos before starting that one. I'd already done probably, you know, a few weeks of just being fit and healthy. And then I started the challenge and, you know, took it serious. So yes, I did finish it. I finished it, I think, 1 kilo heavier than where I finished this last one. And I think probably 1 or 2, if I had to guess, 1 or 2% body fat more than where I was. But the 2017 photos and the 2020 photos look almost identical.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And we could talk a little bit about maybe how your approaches were different each time and what you might have done differently. Now, I guess the next question I have is all about challenges. So, you know, whenever we're completing a challenge like this, we're inevitably going to face barriers that prevent us from completing the challenge. So could you speak a little bit about some things that you might have had to overcome to transition into that fit life and things that you might have had to plan and get over so that you can achieve this amazing result that you did?
This last challenge specifically, obviously the COVID was the biggest challenge on everybody's agenda. I would think everybody in some ways had to adapt to the way that they train. So for me, usually I would be in the office. I would have a fully equipped gym just across the road. I would have an hour, hour and a half in the mornings, lunch after work, where I could go in, I could train by myself just with my headphones in, and everything is in place. The gym's in place, the weights are in place, it's clean, it's very easy. There's no COVID hanging over your head. My biggest challenge for this one was having none of that. The gyms weren't open in Victoria for the lion's share of this challenge. So I did it all at home, just with sort of free weights. And also on paternity leave at the moment, I did most of the training with the three kids around as well too. So it's I was not exactly having rigid timed rests in between. Some of my rests included 10 swings of the baby on the swing and then get back and do the other set. I don't know if that was 30 seconds or 40 seconds or 20 minutes. But so my biggest challenge was really just adapting to the home training and just life. I mean, you could call it COVID life, but I mean, not everybody's got access to gyms and things like that, but just adapting in the way that I train, you know, where I train, how I train, what exercises I've got access to, training around the family, the kids. That was probably my biggest challenge. But also in saying that, my best takeaway, my best memories are taking the 9-month-old baby out onto the deck with me and listen to her bop to the music while I do my benches or something like that. Poor child, she's going to be scarred for life. She's educated on everything from 70s, 80s, 90s pop, a little bit of heavy metal in there, some Nickelback. I'm ashamed to say, there's been Hanson and Spice Girls.
Well, it's going to be a well-rounded musical baby, right?
Absolutely. They are my biggest challenges and biggest takeaways.
Yeah. I like that, though. When we look back at 2020, it's very easy to look at some of the negative things of it. Gyms being closed down, people losing their jobs, lots of uncertainty, lots of fear, lots of doubt in the world. But if you take a moment to think about maybe some of the positive aspects, for example, you said that some of your fondest memories having your 9-month-old next to you while you've been training at home, and maybe you've been a great role model to your other two children who might be, you know, slightly older. I mean, you now have created these great memories of exercising as a family at home. And of course, that's challenging. I get it. But there are these positive things that come out of it. So could you speak a little bit about maybe how you made that adaption? For some people, as soon as gyms close, they're like straight up, no, I'm not going to exercise. That's it. You know, the health quickly deteriorates. What steps did you take to transition to that home training environment? Did you have access to some equipment, or did you have to jump on the little black market of fitness equipment that happened in Victoria where, you know, it was really hard to find things? Or did you go down the route of filling up sandbags to try to find bits of equipment, or did you watch some videos online, and how did you balance your children at home? Like, can you speak a little bit about how you adapted and transitioned to that training from home environment?
Yeah, look, a little bit from column A, a little bit from column B. So after the 2017 challenge, I did buy some equipment. So I've got some squat stands and a bench and just some dumbbells, the general stuff. So I've got enough to get going, which was fine. I did pick up some extra stuff along the way. I mean, obviously, I don't have a $6,000, $8,000 cable machine sitting at home. So, I mean, I bought an $80 pair of those resistant bands. They were great, actually. So I used those resistance bands pretty much in place of anything that would have used a cable machine. Mm-hmm. And also a lot more body weight stuff than what I would have done, like chair dips, incline push-ups on a little 2-foot retaining wall or something at the back. Finding the space, I think. Before the challenge started and before each transition to the new training program, I did spend a lot of time at night. I would look at the next day's training or the next week's training, just planning in my mind, I guess, about how I was going to do it and where I was going to do it, what equipment I had to do it. One of the other things that I guess in terms of adaptability is the new spreadsheets. That was the first time I've used Google Sheets in the format that they were in. Loved them. Seemed complicated at first, but in terms of the adaptability for training from home, if you don't have a leg curl machine or the quad machine, that's fine. Just hit the drop-down box and pick a different one. You still train the muscle group and you find something that you can do it with. So, yeah, that's probably a little bit of everything. I did have some stuff to start with. I bought some stuff along the way and I used what I had.
Yeah, amazing. It's amazing to see that you utilize some of the tools that we developed so that people could train from home, especially when half the country was in lockdown, the other half weren't. Some people have access to full gyms at home, their sheds and garage, and other people just have some dumbbells and a resistance band, maybe like yourself. So it's amazing to see that you're able to adapt your program to suit your environment and your resources and achieve this amazing result that you did. Now, Ben, a little bit of a similar question, a little bit different. It's all about learning. I guess every challenge that we do, and as time goes on, we slowly learn more about ourselves. We slowly learn more about training and nutrition and dieting and exercise and all these little bits and pieces in between. So could you speak a little bit about some of the things that you might have learnt along the way over the past 3 or 4 years or so of completing the challenge and being part of the fitness and health lifestyle? You know, what kind of things have you learnt along the way?
In the beginning, I learnt a lot about nutrition, macros and calories and things like that, you know, for the first 2 or 3. I think the first challenge I did was a lean and ripped. Second one was a bulk up one. And then, safe to say, I ate a lot of the food and then got sidetracked with the training during that one. So the third one I did was a get lean and ripped again. Now, I've learned a lot about nutrition along the way, and particularly feel and food substitutes, like breakfast. I was sort of struggling to find a substitute that wasn't just toast and bananas. And obviously you've got your oats, but to bring in the protein into that, the omelets and the eggs, and that was something that I picked up along the way and something that I still do. Basically, I just alternate omelets and oats nearly every day. And so I picked up a lot of recipes, a lot of meal replacements from the nutritional side of the thing. Training-wise, I think I've probably learned the most from this challenge, training-wise, because I was forced to take on new exercises. So that's been really good. And then I've sort of had to really focus on the muscle group and technique, because I don't have hundreds of kilos of weight lying around. I really have to make sure that I am focusing on the muscle that is using it, making sure that it is the primary muscle and that, you know, the secondary muscles aren't taking any of the load. So that's one of the things that I've probably learned more recently on that side of the training, actually, because I can't just go and load up 150 kilos on the squat machine because I don't have it. Mm-hmm. So I just have to make sure that, you know, if I'm doing 90 kilos, that I'm doing it slow, I'm pausing, I'm feeling every bit of the 90 kilos that's on there, and it's all the primary muscles that are taking it.
Yeah, I like that. And I think that's a sign of an advanced trainee, right, where you don't need to utilize really heavy weights to get a good stimulus on your body. And we kind of see it when gyms were closed and there were many people who we kind of maybe look at some of these people and we go, okay, maybe intermediate like trainee. And their first apprehension was, well, I don't have any equipment at home. And sure, that's okay. Or maybe I don't have really heavy equipment like you suggested. I don't have, you know, 150 kilos on a squat. I used to squat that much. But I think over time, maybe myself anecdotally, as I kind of got better at training, I got better at applying a stimulus to my body. If anything, my weights kind of got slightly lighter because I needed less weight to get more of a stimulus in my body, right? So now when I do squats, sure, you know, once upon a time I, you know, could squat over 200 kilos, but then now I can use less than 100 kilos to get a really strong stimulus for my quads. My quads are pumping, they burn afterwards. I've got DOMS the next day and I've got a really light load. Similar with a bench press, I could bench a decent amount, but now I can bench so little and get a huge stimulus on my chest. My joints don't have to suffer from really heavy load over time. And then I get some really nice stimulus over time. And that's something that I've actually learned while training at home. Similar to most people in Melbourne, I was limited with my equipment. I was lucky enough to get a barbell and maybe 100 kilos of weight, but I had to really experiment with my position. How can I get my primary muscles to work and not overload other areas of my body? And that takes a lot of time. That takes a lot of time of mental focus, a little bit of trial and error, a little bit of adaptation, and a little bit of knowledge around anatomy, biomechanics, how the body moves. And yourself, I would say that you're an advanced trainee if you're able to do that. And if you're able to continue to grow muscle, get that six pack that you have and these amazing quads that are just blown up, amazing work and a big congratulations to you. Ben, my next question is about change. So when we're completing this body transformation, our lifestyle changes, right? And that could be over a 12-week period. That could be over multiple years of doing fitness and health. So can you speak a little bit about how maybe your lifestyle has changed, maybe your day-to-day life or maybe things that you prioritize day-to-day? So can you speak a little bit about how your life may have changed over the couple of years of embracing the fitness and health lifestyle?
Yeah, sure. Look, it's been really, really good for me. Obviously, with the young family, we've had really busy times, not more jobs and less sleep to do. So being energized and active and it's been really important to function on sometimes 3 or 4 hours sleep and then go to work. So that's been really positive for us. And from 2017, I drink less, I train more. We've really embraced, I guess, just the health and fitness and how the negative things, how they impact our physical health and biology, but also like our mental capacity as well too. Like if I go out and have 15 beers on the weekend, it's all well and good, but then I can't function the next day either. Cognitively speaking, I'm not as alert. It's always the way that the night you come home after 15 beers is the night the kids have a shocking night in bed. Over the 4 years, look, day to day, probably I haven't really noticed it, but when you asked me the question, I had to think about it. Over the 4 years, look, we've really taken a lot of positive steps to just live a healthy lifestyle and realize the things that are good for us and also know what our catalysts are for things that are bad. And, you know, not to say bad, but I mean, I still have drinks. And I will preface that by saying that there's more to health than just physical health. Alcohol plays a very important part in mental health as well. So look, we still have drinks and things like that, but we have learned to moderate the bad things and really embrace the good things, I suppose. Nutrition-wise, it's been amazing for us. Training-wise, look, I really ramp it up for the challenges, but still do it in between challenges and have been doing it for the 4 years anyway. Had a gym membership for 4 years. I go 3 to 5 times a week, regardless of if I'm on a challenge or not. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll bench 80 kilos. Sometimes I'll bench 40 kilos if I just haven't got it that day. But, mm-hmm. So look, I think day to day, you don't really realize it. But when you look back over the years, a long period of change, I don't stay out till 2 a.m. anymore. I don't drink 15 beers because I know how it impacts me. Yes, I really struggle with that. I guess adapting and bringing that into our social circles as well as bit of change as well. So, you know, I take Carlton Zero to parties sometimes now. I cop a lot of shit for it sometimes.
Well, could you speak a little bit about that? What was it like the first time you did something like that? Like, for example, bringing like Carlton Zeros to a party or maybe having something like a soda water or something like that. What was it like the first time you did that around a social group where maybe you were quite close friends because of these activities you're doing, such as going to a party and having drinks together? Like, what was it like when you initiated a change in your social groups and what was the feedback like? And can you tell us a little bit about that?
I wouldn't go as far as to say that I was outcast, mm-hmm. but I did get comments along everything that Craig spoke to on the awards night. I'll just have one, or, you know, one won't kill you, or it's Christmas and things like that. And it's like, yeah, look, it's not my values. And mm-hmm. that's not the conversation I had, but I did get comments a lot. I ordered a light beer one time. I caught up with the crew down in Melbourne a few years ago. I ordered a light beer and one guy joked. He said, I'm not talking to you. You guys who drink light beer make me nervous. But, he was joking, but times like that. I still catch up with everyone. I haven't lost friends over it, but I go to the gym with close friends. I did this challenge with a close friend as well too. So, and I actually have won a bottle of scotch from him on it. But I guess I'm more aware of the environment that I catch up with them in now.
Yeah.
If we're going to catch up at the pub, I'm prepared for it. But, and if I can, I try to, we catch up over coffees or we catch up for a run and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like you said it before, it's all about moderation. And, you know, at the end of the day, you're allowed to have these things. You're allowed to have a drink if you like. You're allowed to have a slice of cake. You're allowed to have that pizza. But it's all about that moderation because life's going to get in the way. You can't avoid all these things forever. But I tend to see people's apprehension around social situations where it ends up being a really stressful and anxious event, going to maybe a family reunion or a friendship's birthday party where it's normal for everyone to have a drink or it's normal for people to eat a certain way. And then to challenge that normality through the foods that you eat or the things that you drink can be quite anxious and stressful, right? But you may find that some people at the beginning may poke holes at it because it's something different. Maybe their way to cope is to make fun of you a little bit. And I guess it's what you do next. It's either you can give in to those comments or you can stay true to your values, like you said, and what you're trying to achieve. And then you may find that slowly people in your social circles become a little bit envious of you and they want to join you, right? And they may be really welcoming to catch up for a coffee instead of a beer. They may be really welcoming to catch up for a walk rather than to like go have brunch or something like that. And slowly over time, your friendship groups and circles and relationships change so that you become like really active. And you might be that person that challenges your friends to be like, hey, like let's go for a hike this weekend instead of doing what we normally do, right? And, you know, you become this genesis for change, right? Where it becomes a really positive thing.
Really good point, Lee. So 2017, I was getting a lot of flack for making these changes.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, so I caught up with the same group of friends recently.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of accolades, obviously. You look great. They hadn't seen me for a long time. Most of them are asking for the program now. Mm-hmm. You know, what have you been doing? How have you been doing it? Can you send me the program? What do you eat? Mm-hmm. I think I'll do the January challenge. Mm-hmm. You don't set out to be, you know, inspiring or anything like that, but you do it just by being yourself and sticking to your own values.
Yeah, yeah. You end up becoming this fitness ambassador where you, not anything that you plan to be, like you said, but people start asking you these questions and you're like, well, this is what I've been doing. Would you like to join me? You're welcome. You know, we can go to the gym together. Which actually leads me to my final point here, which is about advice. So someone came to you and maybe they were about to start the challenge or maybe they wanted to live a fit and healthier life. What advice would you give to that person to get the most out of their fitness and health journey?
Well, if they're looking to start the challenge, I'd definitely encourage them to do it. I think I've noted it on my profile as well too. Just the results that I've had when I've been doing a challenge are much better than, you know, results that I've been able to get by myself. And I think just the access that you have to the community, other people doing the challenge, the coaches, the ambassadors, the advice, just really spurs you along as well too. So I think my first piece of advice was, if you're thinking about it, give it a shot. Absolutely. And then just pace yourself. It's cliche, but it's a marathon, not a sprint. 12 weeks doesn't sound like much at the start, but when you've been knocking back your 2,000, 2,200 calories for 8 to 10 weeks, the last 2 weeks can seem a long time. So pace yourself. Injuries as well. And in terms of just you didn't want to do the challenge and you just wanted to sort of start a new fit and healthy lifestyle, just give it a shot. Just take the first step. I don't know who said it, but the longest journey starts with a single step. Just get out there, get moving. Read, Google, go for a walk. Have her run, hit the gym, sign up. Just take the step, first step.
Yeah. I love that. That's great advice. Ben, let's wrap it up there, mate. I want to take a moment just to thank you for donating some of your time to be part of the Challenge podcast. And I do want to congratulate you on such an amazing result. You've shown us that you might not get the results that you want to achieve in one challenge, and it might take a few challenges, but if you really put your mind to it and put the effort in, you can achieve this amazing thing, like getting in the top 10 of the Masters Challenge. And for that, I congratulate you on an amazing transformation.
Thanks, Dave. I've got a shout out.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.